Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 FM in Burnaby. But as you know, with COVID, I am broadcasting from home. And today, you are going to share in a conversation I had with two fascinating women from a conference that's coming up this weekend in connection with International Women's Day. As you know, International Women's Day is a global day celebrating the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women. And the theme is Choose to Challenge. So our guest today, Leslie George of Mosaic, is going to be telling us about the conference that she's having. And one of the speakers, Sanae Bate Mitchell, is going to give an example. And Leslie, tell us about this conference and why you are doing it.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you for having me on your platform. Really, really thrilled to be here. So just to give you a little background about Mosaic, right? So what I always like people to do is just imagine a mosaic tile. A mosaic tile is filled of different colors, different shapes, different sizes, and even different textures. And when all of those things come together, it forms this beautiful tile. I know that's in my opinion. I just think that it's just an amazing, beautiful tile. So Mosaic really is a company that focuses on the diversities of women from all over the world. So no matter what your culture is, what language you speak, it doesn't matter where you come from. Mosaic is a home for women in which we look at celebrating diversities. I don't believe in hiding your diversity. I think that your diversity makes you unique. And that is what makes you stand out. So no longer trying to be a melting pot. I don't believe in the melting pot scenario because everything just kind of melts in there and kind of gels together, right? That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for these amazing women to stand out from whatever country that they're from. So that's just to give a little bit of history about Mosaic. And so 2 days that are very significant to me is International Day of the Girl and International Women's Day, which is coming up on March 8th. So my first book release was released 2019 on International Women's Day. We went Amazon best-selling author within 24 hours of the release. So that those 2 days are very significant because they're about celebrating women, and that's what we do at Mosaic. So the event this weekend, it's called Women in White Spaces. I did not stutter. It is Women in White Spaces. And what that means is that as women, as Black women, there are some spaces that we may be in, but we just don't fit in. As even Black women or other women may be in certain fields that they just don't fit in. And it's like those spaces were not created for them. So this weekend on Monday, we're going to highlight some amazing women. You're going to hear them speak because they are in fields that typically you won't really see women in. And so that's part of that diversity and celebrating that part of women.
The challenge of breaking glass ceilings, that is a thing that reverberated a lot last month during the Black Heritage and Black History Month. A lot of people saying people have reached just to this point, and then there's still this ceiling where you say you're not supposed to be there. So are you dealing with women from different ethnic groups and the differences in the white spaces that people have to enter are challenging?
Yes. Yeah. Great question. So thank you for that. So one of the speakers, she is a white female, but she was a national sports broadcaster. So she's in a space that she is supposed to be in, dealing in sports and working with all these different men. Right.
Right.
So, the thing, obviously, I'm a woman and I'm always going to highlight our greatness. And you mentioned about breaking the glass ceiling. I just believe that if we look at it from a lens that there's no ceiling, we are just coming. And the other part, I believe that my mission and my assignment is to continually challenge that because of the young people that are coming up behind us. I don't want a young girl to feel that wherever she's from or whatever she looks like, she can't do X, Y, Z. And another part of this burning desire for me is like I'm from the Caribbean. My dad is from Mississippi. I was born in Antigua in the Caribbean. And in the early part of my career, I built a boutique hotel, built it from the ground up, ran it. I was a general manager. And after probably about 4 years or so, I decided I wanted more. And just to give you an idea of the level of trust that I had from the owners is when Christmas came around, I'll get a call from England and they will say, well, Leslie, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know what I want. Well, just write a check for whatever you want. That's the level of trust that was entrusted in me for the property. So fast forward, I decided that I wanted to leave the Caribbean and come to the States to go to college. So I put in my 2 weeks, faxed it, and I got a phone call right immediately from my boss and saying, what is this thing that I just got? And I said, you know, I think I need to move on. And everything was great. There was nothing that was wrong. Everything was great. He says, I'm coming to Antigua the next day. Got on a plane, came to Antigua, took me out to dinner. We were talking. And he said, why do you want to leave? I said, because I believe that there's more for me. And his words to me was, I will never make it in America as a Black woman. Well, right then and there, whether I was going to stay, whether he could convince me, and he probably could have, because I'd been tied and emotionally tied to the property. I made a decision that I was going to leave. So every day when I serve women and I highlight women, it comes from that place. It comes from no longer is somebody going to look somebody in the face and say that they're not going to make it. They're not going to whatever for whatever the reason. So that's also part of that burning desire that I have.
I'm going to ask you more about that because I've had some experiences in my life with people telling me you'll never make it as that and you need to do this, particularly at this time in my life when I'm doing the creative arts and, you know, working within film and radio. I grew up in Kansas and I was an oldest child and I was good in math. No, I wasn't. It was in my head that I wasn't good in math, but that I was good in science and very good in English. And so, and my grandmother had a cooking business. She made bread, she made pickles, she made all kinds of things from home. And so my guidance counselor, who was a Black woman, we went to a de facto segregated school in Kansas in the 50s and she, in 60s. And she took me down to Kansas State and she said, no, what you're not gonna do within the foods area is go into cooking or the culinary. You're going to apply your science and become a dietitian. And then she said, there's no Black writer. You see any Black writers in Kansas City? So do journalism. And so I did that and I had it in my head and I went out into a career and I worked in public health as a public health nutritionist and I did a lot of journalism and freelance stories, but there was still this desire to do creative writing and so forth. But it was in my head and it partly had been put in my head by another person of color, that there's just no opportunities for you in TV and no opportunities for you. So I think it's really good that in what you're doing within this conference, and I heard you say, you know, to Sane, things that we have to tell little girls and options. So are you all inviting girls to be a part of your work in the conference?
So that's a good question. So kind of one of the secrets is a young lady is going to be opening up with a poem. Hmm. So she's a sophomore in high school and she's going to be opening up with a poem. That's really amazing. We'll just blow you away. I believe in giving back because like I said, no one should have the right to tell anybody that they cannot. Like, you're not God, right? So no one should have the right. And you know, that stayed with me for years. And you know, I'm at the point now that I can say it and it doesn't hurt, but you know, it did hurt for a long time, because now you're questioning yourself, like, okay, does this person kind of have like a crystal ball? Are they right? You know, you now second guess any decision that you make after that. Nah. That should not be for any other women. So that's why I call it women in white spaces. And here's the thing, right? When we talk about Black women being in certain spaces that they, you don't see other people in, at the same time, we also need white allies. And when I talk about, because I'm also a diversity strategist, and diversity is something that's very, very dear to my heart. When we talk about white allies, and when I talk about Mosaic, if you notice, I say that we celebrate the diversities of women, right? So I believe in another training that I do is I do something called value-based leadership. And value-based leadership is basically saying that, okay, so let's get to the foundation. All of us, if we can understand each other's values, one of the things that I say, I don't care what color you are, I don't care what country you come from, you still want the same thing for your family. You don't even speak English. We don't speak the same language, but we all want to love and we all want to laugh and we all want the same things for our families. So at the end of the day, we have certain values that are the same. So if we can get to a foundational level where our values are the same, we can build on top of that. So when you talk about white allies, allyship is built on values. Allyship is built on, I understand that as a Black woman, there's some spaces I would never get into, but you as my white sister, you are the one that can get there. So what do? You move ahead and open doors for maybe not me, but maybe another generation. So that's when I talk about allyship, because we have to start from a founder. We can't start from us bickering and accusing, and we can't start there, because we're never going to get anywhere. We got to, the foundation is the values. So I start from values and build from there.
It reminds me of a value in a song that Kelly Lee Evans has called Hands Up. She's got her hands up. So we got to listen to that song and think of the ways that you have your hands up, lifting out intergenerationally. And yes. Hear one of your speakers that I might just know, Sanae Bate Mitchell. So hands up, everybody.
Hands up. Hands up.
Every time I'm playing, I'm winning. I know it's not only me. And when I'm running, these words keep coming, and all is as it should be. It's such a funny feeling, knowing, not hoping, I'm taking everything I see. And I can handle what you're dealing, keep feeling, I'm living through you for me. So, who do you want me to be? Never knew what I would find. Now I know that I'll be fine. My
Kelly Lee Evans emphatically answers the question, who do you want me to be, when she puts her hands up and lets go of anything holding her back. That is so related to the theme of International Women's Day 2021 and the idea of choose to challenge. This conference is a choose to challenge. Today, we're going to continue to hear what you will learn when you attend the conference virtually on Monday, but what you're going to learn right here today, what you can take away as you put your hands up to step into white spaces as defined as those spaces where people said a woman wasn't supposed to be, and then for women of color, some of the especially safe spaces that we were told we were not supposed to be. So we're going to continue on. You know, when we think of hands up, we think of the people within the protests that have their hands up, don't shoot. Right. And that image is an image that's within people's head. But then we also have the image of having our hands up to say yes, to accept assignments. Leslie, you mentioned the word assignments. I want to ask each of you, what does it mean to you to have an assignment?
That's a good question. I believe that we are all born with a purpose. Now, when I say we're born with a purpose, it may take us some time to get to the purpose, right? Because there's so much noise, there's so much traffic out there. So it may take a while to get to your purpose and for you to be 100% confident in knowing that this is the road that God is putting you on. While you're doing that, you now can become very clear that they are people that God has assigned to you. And that assigning to you could, I believe, in team 100%. I don't believe that you can do anything great by yourself. So that's why I talk about assign, because if you're gonna do anything great, if your assignment, if your purpose is great, there's people that are assigned to you. It is ordained before I came here. But it's just that now I gotta find that. And once I find that and I'm walking in that, the team, the people, everything else that has been assigned to me to help us walk out this assignment will be, it's something like, I don't know if you remember seeing the movie in Forrest Gump, where he was walking and then all of a sudden he was walking and you look back at all these other people that were just coming. When I talk about assignment, that's what I think. That's the visual that I have in my head when I talk about assignment.
So that, I think that makes a connection to your conference. What is your assignment in relationship to the speaker you're going to introduce?
She is a tech superstar, and we talk about women in white spaces. So women in white spaces, as a Black female, she don't have no business in tech. You know, I'm sure when she was growing up, she didn't see nobody that was doing that. But there's an assignment on her life that she knows that this is something that she is destined to do. This is part of her purpose. So she is exactly what I talk about when I talk about women in white spaces. So help me bring in Miss Sinead Bate Mitchell.
So thank you, Leslie George, for that introduction. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, when you speak of my, I'll say my story in that manner, it's like, oh my gosh, I hope I can really live up to that. And I always say that because sometimes when you are on your assignment, you're not even focused on the actual journey. You're really just focused on the destination. Mm. And so when you are that, I'll say, focused on the destination, you don't even realize the impact that you may have had on the people, like you said, in the Forrest Gump movie, how they were behind you. Like, I would never have known people are behind me, you know, because I was so focused. And when it's a difference, because when you look at companies, right, the companies usually have what they call is a mission statement, right, or a mission for that organization. But the difference between that a mission and an assignment, of course, is that definitely you have those people who are assigned to you that will are connected to you, that no matter what you do, they're always going to see your magnetic, being in life and draw upon you. And like for me, I've always been a very inquisitive person since I was young. So it's always about asking questions. And even like at home, I used to take things apart and put them together. So I had that mindset, you know, I guess of an engineer, you know, learning how to put pieces back together and making sure the right pieces and having the right tools. So I didn't even realize I would go into the technology industry. That was not even my lifelong dream. I really wanted to be a doctor. So all my life I grew up, yeah, I love medicine. I still love medicine to this day, you know, but when it got to a point of going to college, you know, it was like, okay, well, you have those questions. It's like, do you really want to go in this field? You know, what do you want to do? And I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I want to spend 20 years as a doctor. Mm-hmm. I love it, but I know myself and I know I'm a multifaceted person that likes to dip and dab into different things that I have interest in. And I'm like, I don't want to put that kind of commitment into something. I was like, well, what else is out there for me? And so I went to take one of those, look, I guess it's like a aptitude test, you know, in school. And it came out with different, I say, industries or jobs that would probably best fit my personality based off these questions. Now, of course, we know they can be somewhat biased, but one of them was a teacher, I remember, and I think psychology was on there. And it was also computer technician. I was like, Now the thing is, I had been doing little things along the way that I didn't even realize was lining me up for this moment. You know, I'll say back in school, I love computers. My mother got me my first computer, a Commodore, when I was probably 5 or 6 years old. So those are the things, you know, that kind of started me on my journey. And I'll say set me up for my assignment that led me to where I am today.
Now, life took a turn from you from, you know, after graduating and you were prepared for one direction. What were the shift that you had to make?
Well, it's the same shift that so many people go through. You graduate, you're all excited, you're ready to enter into this work field, right? Because that's what they told us. We learned all these things. We got this degree, this piece of diploma that we spent thousands of dollars for and are now in debt for. It's supposed to lead us to our future, you know, with what the home and the white picket fence and a dog named Ruff, right? We were supposed to go after that. But for some reason, I did everything that I was supposed to do. I got the diploma. I'm ready to go out there. And guess what? I applied to the jobs in my industry and I kept getting rejected and I didn't understand. And even I went after entry level jobs and still nothing. I'm like, well, how do you get rejected from an entry level? Like that's still, I don't understand that part. It's entry level. It's supposed to be meant for me, right? I shouldn't have to go in there with experience because that would be the whole point. But that was my challenge. And so what so many people end up doing is settle. They settle to survive. But guess what? They're unhappy, right? They live an unhappy, unfulfilled life because they're doing something just to get through the next day and make sure that they can take care of their family and pay bills. And that's it. But who wants a life like that? That's where we have to really go back to that assignment. What are we here for? What is our purpose? What have we been assigned to do? And even if it looks challenging, don't give up. Figure it out. Connect with people. Network. Collaborate. Figure that out. Because it is figureoutable. So, yes, that's what I ended up doing.
Now, both you mentioned the word networking. And some people picture networking as when you go to an event and you have a pocket full of cards and you run around and give your card to everyone. What's the difference in the way that you would define or see effective networking?
I'll answer, then I'll let her answer. I'll just take example, she and I relationship, you know, now in a virtual space. And I think when you're in this virtual space, you can create a lot more intimate connections, because she and I met through a virtual group, and we were just in breakout rooms together. We've been in a few breakout rooms together, and that's when you can really, there's something about the energy that you can get from someone. So it's not about handing out cards or whatever, it's about what they say. And I remember the first time I heard her speak, when she talked about what she did, I was like, oh, that's just amazing. So I think that in this virtual space, you really can, you know, because it's still networking, but it's not, you're not doing it to gain anything from anyone. You're just really listening to people's stories. I think that's really the difference in the virtual space that we're in which before you show up to an event and you want to just pass out cards and just keep it moving. In which how she and I met, it was really about connection. She mentioned collaboration. It was really about collaborating, connecting on a real relationship type basis. So yeah, and for me, networking is just building relationships. That's what networking is for me.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say for me, I probably took networking up to the next level because what I ended up doing was I settled for a job, I ended up at Walmart, and I used an opportunity where I saw a group of people that worked for IBM, and I walked over and had a conversation. And that's a part of networking, right? Mm-hmm. To start a conversation. So I used that opportunity to ask a question. And my question was, I didn't know what I was doing wrong, because apparently I know something. I was doing something that was not working right. Let's put it like that. And I needed to know what I could get from someone else as an advice in the same industry that could help me to be able to get into the where I wanted to be, to reach my goal. And that's what I did. I asked that day what I needed to do. And that gentleman happened to say, you know what? You asked, I happen to have one position available. I want you to come in for an interview. So I took that opportunity of networking, and that led me into, I'll say, the door to be able to walk into the goal that I had already wanted. And that is the highlight of, I mean, I feel like if it wasn't for networking, I wouldn't be here today. So as of today, I am the CEO of a IT service providing company. And I took those same pain points of people just like me, you know, that have the degree, or they might not even have the experience. Mm. And I was actually training these people to go into these companies, Walmart, even banks, with no experience. And guess what? Right now, people have given me so much, I'll say, pride on my teams, because they say your teams always show up. They always do the job that they're supposed to do. They call me all the time to fly people around the world, you know, not the world yet, but the United States. So I've had teams, you know, from the West Coast, you know, to the East Coast, North and South, because I took everything that I learned, all the struggles. I have never even talked about the struggles and the ceilings and the doors I had to face. And they were pretty big. But you can't focus on that. When you have a goal, like I said, when you look at that destination, those other things, those are just little trials and tribulations you're just going to have to fight through. Yeah, you're going to cry. Yeah, it's going to hurt. But you can make it. You just have to have that kind of determination.
Now, you mentioned two different things I want to ask you about. But one, what both of you have reflected on is that the involvement of faith, that faith is a part of your DOS. And it makes me think of a song, We've Come This Far By Faith. You remember that song? You ever come across that song?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we're going to hear that song. And just, I remember so many times my mother singing the song, or just hearing people bring a whole message, and, you know, that we've come this far by faith. And though women within your group are of many different faiths, so it's not so much pushing one faith, but just the idea of faith. So we've come this far by faith. Farrell, your own Sister C, here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, recording remotely on the unceded territory and lands of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish people. We have been talking about faith and appointments, and that song, We've Come This Far by Faith, by the Bible Way Baptist Church, reminds me of Sunday mornings when I was a little girl, listening to my mama sing that in the choir. And now it leads us back into this discussion. Okay, but that choir singing, We've Come This Far by Faith, takes me back from my childhood and just reminds me of the great fellowships we would have and how the church was one of the places that we learned to network, to meet, to learn, set up for a tea, set up for demonstrations. But you mentioned small rooms and breakout rooms. From a technology standpoint, for anyone who might not know what that is, can you explain about the breakout rooms?
Yes, so many platforms are out there right now for us to be able to come together, to be able to meet. Of course, some of the popular ones that we know are Zoom, There's some new ones out here, such as Air Meet. But the opportunity that they present is that you are able to either do speed networking or go into small groups. So that's pretty much all it is. It's an area where you can have a smaller group session and be able to kind of get more intimate with one another and be able to have small discussions, and then also be able to come back and bring what you have learned and gained from talking to one another within those small areas back to the larger groups.
And can anyone with a basic computer get into a small room? Do you have to have something special in your phone to enter a small room?
Yes, actually, that's one of the biggest areas I have seen a lot of people struggle with right now in the technology space, is that a lot of people don't have the right tools. So one of the things when it comes with software and the technology that's out here, a lot of people don't understand there's two different apps that are created, or software that's created. There's software created for computers, and then there's software created for your mobile devices. And when I say mobile devices, meaning your cell phones, your tablets, okay? So a lot of times the software does not work exactly the same. It's not created equal, okay? And what that presents is an opportunity. So you may be able to get to certain areas in certain apps, such as, like, for instance, Air Meet. You're able to get into the main area. But when it comes to the breaking down and going into the tables, or going into the more, I'll say, smaller meeting spaces, you cannot access it at this time through your mobile device. So that presents a little opportunity when you're excited, you're attending some of these events, and you're not able to really fully invest yourself in them because you don't have the adequate, I'll say, tool. So the adequate tool, especially for any small business or entrepreneur out here, you have to have a computer. I don't know how many people I've met with, and I've tried to help them with their business. And even this goes for a lot of coaches out here. Before you even sign people up, sometimes you may have to have them do a tech audit. And that's something I actually had to put into my business to be able to, serve, is completing a tech audit. Because if they don't have the right tools, guess what? They can't complete the work that you have out there for them to do. So it's going to create a customer service type of situation. They're not going to be able to complete that work. And guess what? They're going to feel like they didn't get the, to do all that they had paid to do to be able to work with you. So that goes for even companies. You know, when you hire people on, sometimes they want you to bring in your own computer now. And if your computer is not up to the standard of that company, now that relates a problem with what? Productivity. So if you don't have the right tools, your computer's slow, you don't have the right internet service. I mean, it kind of snowballs into one thing after another. So it is very essential that you connect with someone who can even show you the right kind of tools that you need to be able to get the job done, whether or not it's for an employer or for your own self to be able to build your own business.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because everybody sends, I get dozens of emails during the day saying, now you can work from home, now you can work from home, or things pop up and people start paying into programs when sometimes they don't even have the right computer or the right things within enough space to access that. So is that something that you, within either the organization or you as a business, do in terms of coaching people or helping people get an understanding of what they need to take advantage of some of these opportunities to work from home?
Well, that's something I actually have been organically led to be able to provide lately, because I didn't realize that was an issue. Like, for me, I'm a techie. So in my mind, everybody has a computer. So it actually blew my mind, you know, working or talking to people even that were entrepreneurs that have businesses, and they like, I don't have a computer, because I'm asking them, hey, can you send this picture? Can you do this? Or I give them certain steps, and they're like, oh, it's not working. And then we find out, oh, they're on a tablet. No, a tablet's not going to work to do what you need it to do. And so even with that said, I had a coach that actually reached out while they were growing their community. And they didn't have a, they actually had purchased a computer on Black Friday. So they were like, hey, I got this great deal, you know, this computer, but I'm still having all these problems. And come to find out, it didn't have a big enough processor to be able to stream on, you know, Zoom and be able to communicate with her clients and be able to scale and grow. And the thing is that she didn't have the right tool. Now, I was able to coach her and give her the right kind of tool that she needed specifically, because not all computers are created equal. Believe me, I went to manufacturers. I know all the ins and outs of the computer. So, yeah, so when it comes to that, no, you have to have the exact tool for what you're trying to build, not what your friend got. No, that doesn't work. For what you need it for, it has to be customized.
We could come back. I want to say, Dr. George, you look doctoral.
Yes.
But a webinar going through and softening the blow, because I've had that same experience. I did it myself. I was so excited to get a computer that had a higher speed. I edit using an Adobe product that needed more speed. I couldn't do all of the things that my subscription enabled me to do. So when I saw that this computer had 8 gigabytes of random memory, I bugged my son. He helped me to buy it. And I got on the next week, I was trying to edit this event and it kept stopping. So I called the people at Adobe and they said, but the technician at the store called you and he said that it was, you know, it met the specifications. He said, that's the minimum specifications. He wanted to sell you that computer. The better thing to do is call the people from the program. You know, different Microsoft has things. Adobe has a whole 19 different programs. Mm-hmm. But to call them and ask them what are the specifications. And it can seem to be quite expensive. But on the other hand, as you've observed, there's so many things now where you either have to work from home or you have to submit things. You have to submit all kinds of documents. So it is really good what you said to do an audit. You can do an audit with Savvy. Say the name of your company.
So yes. I'm on all social media as Savvy Sané. Mm-hmm. And then I have a school called Transition Into Position. And then that's where you can be able to connect with me on there as well. Transitionintoposition.com.
Okay. So now in the range, I'm going to ask you, Leslie, about some of the range of speakers that people will hear about, and then ask if we could hear a little taste of the introvert speech.
So some of the people that we have someone, she's been in the mortgage business, lending side for 25 years. I mentioned we have someone that was a sports broadcaster. We have a young lady from the UK, and her talk is going to be why 97% of people fail. What else? Who else do we have? Oh, we have another young lady that has an amazing talk. God created sexy. So it's the sexy zone. And that would just blow people away. What else? I think those are we have about 6 speakers. We have another one, the personality professor, where she can help just going over a few things with you, kind of letting you know what your personality is, you know, more of a high level look at your personality, and that kind of drives you to do certain things and certain behaviors. So we have a mixture of different women, experts in their field, just coming together to give someone a well-rounded kind of look at your life, because, you know, the sexy part is about your confidence. So with everything else that we're doing, I believe as women, we really need to make sure that our confidence is in check. And, you know, the whole title of God Created Sexy, you know, that's just interesting in itself.
Tell us how to connect with this conference.
Awesome. If you're on social media, you can reach out to me through my DMs are open. The Mosaic Inc. T THEMOSAICINC, or you can go to the website and register, and it's theultimatedreamyear.com. That's my school. You can go through there and register, or like I said, you can find me on all social media platforms, The Mosaic Inc.
No, I was saying someone just went to get their pen, so spell that. Mosaic again.
I like that. I like what you said. Somebody just went to get their pen. THEMOSAICINC, The Mosaic Inc. And the website to register, general admission is $20.21 for the year 2021. And it's $45, which will be lunch will be included. You can join from anywhere in the world. Your lunch will be delivered because you'll get a link to order your lunch. So lunch is, to get the VIP is $45, which the lunch is included, general admission, and you'll also get a digital book that highlights all the speakers. So you'll have that as a souvenir.
Wow. During the football game, they're telling you and doing commercials about skip the dishes, and here now you've got a workshop where people can have their lunch delivered.
Have your lunch delivered.
Okay, let's hear a bit about the introvert.
All right. So I identify myself as an introvert, which actually a lot of people in tech are introverts. But the thing is, a lot of people don't realize there's different levels and different reasons of why someone may be an introvert. It could be from trauma that they have been, their voice has been quieted or silenced, or they may have gone through different, I'll say, experiences, even through trying to reach their goals and their journey throughout life. And that has caused them to pull back and not really shine. And so because of that, them not able to really stand in their, I'll say, in all of their glory and everything that they do to be able to kind of share their story, they miss out on a lot. So they miss out, especially on being able to sell. Now, we all know, even as any, whether you have a large business or you're just an entrepreneur, if you have not been able to master sales, pretty much you're out of business, or you will be out of business very soon. And so the thing is that we don't always have someone to kind of help us to be able to find our voice so that we can be able to tell our story so that that will lead us to sales. And that's where I said the introvert, you know, sales for introverts is really what I'm pushing now, because that was my story. And I know I've connected with so many other people that is their also their pain point of why they haven't reached certain levels within their business. And I'm not going to be able to share every single thing, because guess what? You have to come and attend, right? If you want to know the full story. But what I'll say, I'll kind of leave you today with, I guess I can leave you with somewhat of a challenge. I like challenges, challenging people. You know, my whole life and even my career is all about challenges. And so I feel like everyone should have one. So I just want to say that I want you to be able to activate, you know, your power, and also use the power of attraction, because that thing right there, it really will help you push a lot faster and a lot further. But that power of attraction combined with relentless willpower to succeed and a dash of faith is all you need to climb one step higher and put one step in front of the other, even on your worst day. So no matter what you do, no matter what happens, you must keep moving forward. And that's what I want to leave you with. That's the challenge I have.
Well, I like that challenge. I like the idea of knowing and understanding moving into white spaces. I think you've whetted people's appetites. So if you go over to those sites, you'll hear and see me participating as well, because I think it's fascinating to be celebrating International Women's Month, the special day focused on Monday. But you'll be all prepared for Monday when you attend this workshop over the weekend. I am Charlotte Farrell, and as she said, find your voice. My show is called Speak Up, so people can listen up, and then you act upon what you've heard. So today you've heard some really good things that you can act upon, and I want to thank my guests, Leslie George and Sane Bate Mitchell, for coming and spending some time with us. And maybe we'll come back again when we can do a workshop or work through, or we're working at another level with this broadcasting from home, where we can have the audience ask questions. So on the next level, we'll see you again. And when people ask me what time it is, I always say it's love time, poem time. See you again next week. I'm Charlotte's Sister C. Farrell here at CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby and across the world on CJSF.ca.
Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time.